And that wraps it up for another edition of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Our roving producer and producer of Flashpoints in Espanol is Miguel Gavilan Molina. Our technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net or visit our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/flashpoints. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10:59. Coming up next is Stage and Studio.
Open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from PD Expendables, stage and studio supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Arri LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880, or their online store at pdxpendables.com.
I'm DeMay Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to Three Leg Torso from their Animals and Cannibals CD. Courtney Von Draley, co-founder of Three Leg Torso, is one of the musicians in the production we're going to talk about today. So you can find out more, though, about Three Leg Torso at threelegtorso.com. I'm starting off 2018 with two theater productions based on adaptations. First off, we're going to hear about Pete, the Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble, and their world premiere of a new adaptation of Uncle Vanya, running January 4th through the 21st at Reed College. Then, in the latter part of the show, I'll talk with playwright C.S. Whitcomb about her world premiere adaptation of Parnassus on Wheels, a 1917 novel by Christopher Morley being produced at Lakewood Theater Company on January 5th through February 11th. Both productions are a part of the Fertile Ground Festival of New Works 2018. And that's what this year is so far, yay! Which runs January 18th through the 28th. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I thought the music had ended. I'm DeMay Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio is director Christy Miles. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And music director Andre Temke. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, Andre Temkin.
Temkin,
yes.
Ah, I did not get that N in there. And actor Jacob Coleman. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Uncle Vanya in Uncle Vanya and their new adaptation at Pete, Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble. And so I want to just welcome you all to Stage and Studio. This is the first time, you guys, that we've had Pete on here. Not sure why, but it is. So welcome.
Thank you.
First in 2018 and first ever. Uncle Vanya by Anton Chekhov tells the stories of several characters on a Russian estate in the late 19th century. They're all questioning their lives and relationships. And there's comedy. And I hear also that there's some brawling involved, too, in there, too. We're going to talk about that, Christy. But first off, Pete has a history of adapting Chekhov works. You've done Three Sisters, The Seagull, and as the director of this project, what makes this adaptation of Uncle Vanya special for you?
Everything about it. Pete has worked really hard on developing a process on how to develop our plays. It's very ensemble-based. I don't consider myself a director as much as a facilitator to helping my co-creators, the collaborators in the room, to figure out what is the play that's happening between us. And working with Shepan Shimek, who is the translator of all of the Chekhov plays that we've been working on, he did The Three Sisters, and then we've been working with him to translate the other major four plays. And getting in the room with him and having him work with the actors in the process of the translation process allows the actors and all of us involved in the room to get our own voice in the translation process. So what happens is we have this visceral, present, current feeling translation of a play that's over 100 years old.
So Stepan Shimek, is he somebody that you've known or that Pete has known for a while?
Yeah, in fact, we didn't find him. He taught Jacob and our other company member, Amber Whitehall, in undergrad, and is a professor at Lewis and Clark, where our other co-artistic director, Rebecca Lingefelter, works. So he approached us.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Jacob, tell us about the relationship with Stepan.
Yeah, Stepan and I met in 1999 when I was young student of acting, and when I moved to Portland, we reconnected, and he's been first a supporter, and then a friend, and now a collaborator, and that's been a really exciting and fruitful relationship. And when Pete got going, and within our first couple of years, he approached us and asked if he could try translating Three Sisters, and if we would do a production of it once he was finished, and we happily agreed, and ever since then, that felt really like a successful collaboration, and so we expanded it to doing Chekhov's other three major plays.
Did you say where he was located?
He's here in town.
He's here in town.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. That's a major facet of this whole project, is that Stepan is in the room with us. We started our project by reading other translations together. He speaks Russian, so he has been taking the plays and doing drafts of them, bringing them to us, asking what feels good in the mouth, what words roll off the tongue, what feels contemporary, what feels visceral, what feels right, because so many times Chekhov translations are flowery. They're romanticized in a way that they apparently don't read that way in the original Russian, and a lot of productions themselves are kind of carry through that romanticized flowery sense of Chekhov, which again in the Russian it doesn't have, so I've been told. So so this is our attempt to make the translation and the translation process reflect a lean, visceral feeling that the Chekhov has, and then the production itself carries that even further. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the project, is really working with a translator in the room with the actors and seeing what happens in that.
It sounds like it's a little bit more authentic than some productions, and
contemporary and just so satisfying to be in the room with a translator while he's working, right? And takes a lot of bravery from Stepan too to be willing to come in with a rough draft and present it to actors and have us give him feedback and then go back and come back the next day with all these little edits. It's a really exciting process.
That is exciting. I think it's an unusual process too. Usually you have a playwright, but not necessarily the person who's actually directly translating a language, right? Mm-hmm. And so there is a lot of, to me it has a sense of being closer to accuracy.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So you're not going through all these different steps and different people. In case you tuned in just now, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. And we're talking about Uncle Vanya, a new adaptation by, and I'm going to say his name probably wrong, Stepan Shimek.
You did it.
Stepan Shimek. And he's working with Pete, the Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble, and the play Uncle Vanya is about to open on January 4th. And that's what we're talking about today. Some of the descriptions, Christy, about the character, you know, it's like, you know, there will be all, you know, music, there will be dancing, there will be lots of talking and dialogue and people talking about their relationships, but there's going to be brawling too. So, yeah. So is this a lot more, I don't know, robust than
yes.
some productions?
I would say yes. This is not your grandma's Chekhov. We are staging it in a cabaret because we got these amazing musicians to come and collaborate with us. So most of the play has music underneath it, and it is either driving the action or the actors are saying, hey, 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 come with me, come with me. And so it's helping us tell the story in a new way, I think, maybe. Yes, and then because Pete, we are in ensemble theater based in physical creation, everything that we do has to be awakened through the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's lots of brawling, there's lots of rolling around on the floor, there's lots of
action.
Movement, yeah. Action.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds to me, too, that maybe closer to what a Russian play might be, you know, in Russia, perhaps?
That's,
I don't know.
Andre,
do you have a comment on that?
Yes,
I assume that you might be Russian, but I don't know for sure.
Yes, I am. I came to Portland about 23 years ago, and since that, being kind of active member of local music community, and I have a band now that's running for 12 years called Charvona. And about 2 years ago, Stepan approached me. And actually, before, right, when Pete was doing Three Sisters, that was our first time where we've met and exchanged some ideas and some musical energy as well. And so for this particular production, they thought it would be good to have a Charvona playing through production. Anyway, so it didn't happen that the whole Charvona is playing, but we were able to put a really great band with amazing musicians that have availability right now in this season. And I don't think we could be finding any better sort of a cast for musicians. Courtney from Trilek Torsa, then Ralph from Klismocracy and Life Wire, and Fernanda, he plays with a lot of band, and Don from Sneaking Out. So those are incredible musicians that pretty much driving with the music this first three acts of the production.
Well, you have your guitar here. And
I
hope that you will play maybe a 1 minute piece or something. Do you have something for us?
Yeah, we have a perfect 1 minute piece. And the song that we're going to have in this production, and it's called The Evening Bells, very famous Russian sort of traditional song, sounds like this. Вечерний звон, как много дум наводит он о юных днях в краю родном. Где я любил, бам-бам, где отчий дом, бам-бам.
I had to join in there.
Yeah. Of course, the more the merrier.
That was easy to sing this too. you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dume Roberts, and we just heard music director Andre Temkin performing a piece from Uncle Vanya, a new adaptation by Pete, the Portland Experimental Theater Ensemble, about to open January 4th. And thank you for that, Andre.
Of course.
Thank you so
pleasure.
Much. And I just wanted to ask you, Jacob, you play Uncle Vanya. What is your Uncle Vanya like?
what is he like?
It's like, describe yourself.
Uncle Vanya is in a situation where he is just getting to that age where he's seeing the infinite possibilities of his life diminish, that middle age place where suddenly he realizes all of the potential futures that he imagined for himself are vanishing quickly, and the rather mundane country life that he's been living might in fact be the only life he ever has. And just as that's happening, a bunch of family chaos breaks out around him. And so he has a fire in his chest at the beginning of the play that's contained but polite at first, and then the process of watching the play is watching that fire begin to burn him from the inside out.
So he's kind of torn up and tumultuous, and he's got a lot of inner life there.
Yeah, yeah. He falls in love with the wrong person, and he fights with the patriarch of the house, and he drinks too much, and he dances, and he makes an absolute fool of himself, and the play, one of the things the play does is follow him through this very human. He is not a protagonist in the sense that that we necessarily identify with him or love him, but he, it's very human. You know, he messes up. He makes the wrong choices. He says the wrong things. But I think in a way that any of us that have lived less than perfect lives can identify with.
Well, it sounds like it's also a very rich, complex character that's fun to play.
Yeah, it's fun in the sense that it gives a performer a lot to deal with. Yeah, a lot. It stretches and pulls at me as I do it.
And challenges you.
And it's very, very challenging in that way that one always wants to grow and learn with each new role. So that this is doing that.
Well, it's lovely hearing you talk about it. Christy, do you want to give a shout out to some of the other people on the show?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we've already shouted out to our musicians, and we have Victor Macht joining us, Maureen Porter, Amber Whitehall is playing Yelena, Joellen Sweeney's Sonia, Jim Vidala is playing Tel Yegin, and Lucy Pascal is brilliantly bringing the nanny to life. Did I forget anyone? I don't think I did.
Well, it sounds like a fun cast.
Prentice,
oh, Naomi, yes. Oh my God. our Astroff is, this is his first show in Portland. And let me tell you, Portland, you're going to want to come meet this guy because he's incredible. So yes, he's playing Astroff, and he's...
Who is that?
Prentice Onayemi.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Yeah. Sounds like a full cast, definitely. I just want to give a shout out. Pete Presents, the world premiere of the new adaptation of Uncle Vanya. Performances are January 4th through the 21st, yes. Wednesday through Sunday at 7:30 p.m. All shows are at Reed College Performing Arts Building Diver Studio Theater. Beautiful space. For tickets and info, visit petensemble.org. I also have that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. In the time remaining, I just wanted to ask, this might be the hard question, but for you, Christy, what does Uncle Vanya mean to you in like one sentence?
Uncle Vanya means to me this production, and I think the script itself awakens or highlights the disintegration of the male ego.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Jacob, one line.
Overcoming numbness in times of change.
And for you, Andre, what does Uncle Vanya mean?
It's a really beautiful music. I really wish we would have a chance to record an album.
Oh, okay.
Of this music, because there's some of the songs that we're going to be doing, they're traditional in a way, but we actually wrote a whole bunch of
I wish we had time to do another one, but I guess people have to see the show. So that's Uncle Vanya at Pete Ensemble, January 4th through the 21st at Reed College. Christy Miles, Jacob Coleman, and Andre Temkin, thank you for joining me today on this first show of 2018. And Bricklex,
thank you everybody.
Thank you.
Next up, I have C.S. Whitcomb to talk about her new adaptation of Parnassus on Wheels at Lakewood Theater right after this music break. I'm DMA Roberts, stage and studio. With me via phone is playwright C.S. Whitcomb. Hey, Cynthia?
Hi, DMA.
I know you as Cynthia, so I'm going to call you Cynthia. Is that okay?
Sure.
Now, your new play is an adaptation of Christopher Morley's 1917 debut novel, which I hadn't heard about till you mentioned it, Parnassus on Wheels.
That's right.
And
it's 100 years old.
It's 100, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, going on 101. Yeah. It's the story of a middle-aged woman who changes her life by bringing books to rural and poor working people. And, you know, I just wanted to, you have a good story about how you came across this book. Would you tell that to us?
Yeah, a dear friend of mine, Goody Cable, which many people know because of Rimsky-Korsakov Coffee House and the Sylvia Beach Hotel, told me this was one of her favorite books in the world. And so I read it, and I fell for it just like she knew I would. And because it's about several things that delighted me and tickled me and got me behind it. One is reminding people the magic of what happens when you fall in love with a book for the first time in your life as a child or as a young person who discovers this whole as a gateway into another world because of a really good book. And so that delighted me. And then it's a middle-aged love story about two people who've never been in love in their lives and they're 40-ish and discover love for the first time. I don't think we have enough middle-aged love stories, personally. I think
no kidding.
Something I believe in and am delighted to explore.
Yeah, I mean, every winter, you know, I watch some of these Hallmark movies, and they're all young people falling in love. What's wrong with them?
Yeah, that's right.
What's
what about
wrong with those?
The rest of us.
That's right.
And so that, and the third thing was that it's about a woman who, at a time when women still didn't have the right to vote for another 10 years, stood up and said, no, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want, in the face of opposition from a family member who says, you're not allowed to do that. And she just says, I'm doing it. And she just does it and takes her life in her own hands and sets off on a wonderful adventure. Also, it's a comedy and a love story. And just and they built the most beautiful gypsy wagon filled with books at the theater. It is so beautiful. I'm just completely delighted by it. It's a magical thing.
Well, so I was doing, it looks like a magical thing on in the photos, too. And, you know, I was just reading about this and prepping for this interview, and the first bookmobile was started by a librarian, Mary Titcomb. Did you know about that?
No, but her name rhymes with
rhymes with yours.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of, you know,
I did not know
serendipitous there. And at the turn of the century, this happened. Do you think that Parnassus on Wheels was inspired by
one
of the first American bookmobiles?
Yeah, probably so. It's written in 1917, but it takes place in 1910.
Yeah.
And so it lives in a world where Mark Twain has just died. You know, Wilde's only been dead 10 years. Many writers that we adore today were still alive and working then, like Shaw and Yeats and a lot of people. So it was a wonderful time in the history of literature to be sent. It also was a time when most people in America lived on farms. More than half the people in America lived on farms and had no access to books. And so this rolling wagon would roll into a farmhouse where the only books would be the Bible or the Farmer's Almanac. there'd be no fiction at all, no literature at all. So it's a wonderful to sort of bring that spirit out into the rural areas where people just don't have access to it.
You know, it's just interesting to think about a time when books were, you know, books and newspapers, I guess, but books especially were the only way that you could get really in-depth knowledge and, you know, entertainment at the same time.
It was before radio and...
Before everything, right?
Pretty much. I mean, there was theater, but not in the countryside. It was just in the cities.
Right. So this is an interesting story about, you know, rural access, you know, to literature, to art. So you've been working with director Stephanie Mulligan in this world premiere adaptation. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time that you guys have worked together, two women?
No, 3 years ago we did a play at Lakewood called The Seven Wonders of Ballynock.
There you go.
An Irish pub play.
Okay.
And had such a fabulous time that we were thrilled to be able to work together again. She's great, and we have two fabulous actors playing the leads. Orion Bradshaw plays the little Irishman that built the traveling Parnassus book wagon, and Amanda Soden plays the farm woman who gives up chickens for the open road, and they're wonderful in it. It's a delight.
So how has Stephanie been helping you with the script itself and just sort of getting it in tune?
For the
world premiere.
As we work it, you know, as you hear the actors say it, you sometimes realize, well, you know, I think we already said that, we don't need it. And another place will say, oh, well, I think this isn't clear, we'll add a little bit here.
Yeah.
So we've just been tinkering here and there just to make sure that the jokes were working and the heart of it is in place, the love of it is in place, and that the story is coming through loud and clear, and now it is. We open in 3 days, so that's lucky.
I know, so soon. Lakewood Theater Company presents the world premiere of C.S. Whitcomb's adaptation of Christopher Morley's 1917 novel Parnassus on Wheels, and the performances begin January 5th, run through February 11th, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30, one Wednesday performance January 24th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday evenings at 7, and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. You have to check the website for specific dates. Mm-hmm. The theater is located at Lakewood Center for the Arts at 368 South State Street in Lake Oswego. And tickets and info are at lakewood-center.org. We've got like 1 minute. Is there anything else coming up for you in 2018?
Well, I take a group of writers every year on a transatlantic cruise. This will be our 10th year. So that's always fun. If anyone's interested in being on a ship, crossing the Atlantic and writing every day and...
When is that and where is that?
We leave from Fort Lauderdale on the 13th of April, and 2 weeks later arrive in Rome. So it's going to be fabulous.
Wow, and, you're going transatlantic there.
Yeah, we do. We write all the way across the ocean every year, and people get like 70 pages a piece written in that 2 weeks. And if anyone's interested in that, then go to my website, cynthiawhitcomb.com, for information about that. But that's a ball. We love that. You can come, Dimae.
Well, I'll have to check the expense book there, but yeah, it sounds lovely. The production, I just have to mention too, the Parnassus on Wheels is a production that's part of the Fertile Ground Festival at fertilegroundpdx.org, where you can get passes. So I just wanted to, mention that too. So Cynthia Whitcomb, C.S. Whitcomb, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a great opening.
Thanks, Dimae.
You take care. Happy New Year to you.
You too.
Before we go today, I want to tell you about a workshop stage reading of an original play called The Brothers Paranormal by Thai American playwright Prince Gomovilas. The play centers around two Thai brothers who work as ghost hunters for an African American couple. Now, it's a comedy drama, but it also deals with grief, loss, and displacement in immigrant and communities of color. It's directed by Kate Duffley, who's a Reed Theater College professor, with live music by Joe Kai. And the shows are January 19th and 20th at 7:30 p.m. and January 20th and 21st at 2 p.m. All shows are at PSU's Lincoln Hall Boiler Room Theater on Broadway Street Side, located at 1620 Southwest Park Avenue, Portland. On January 19th, there's the playwright's actually going to going to be there, and it includes an audience talkback session. Goma Vilas will hold a masterclass on playwriting on Saturday, January 20th at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., and people who see the show can attend this for free. And all of this information is at theaterdiaspora.org, and that's theater with an R-E.org. And brown paper tickets. And so that's it for Stage and Studio. Hear the show again at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and like us on facebook.com/stage_n_studio or tweet me at @stage_n_studio. So happy 2018 and happy new year to everyone. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music from Three Leg Torso.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Making Contact.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I would like to invite you to check out my program, Jazz in the New Millennium, at kboo.fm. Each one-hour program focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective, from their earliest recordings to their most recent. The current season features such primetime players as Jason Moran, Diane Reeves, Christian McBride, Terrence Blanchard, and John Scofield. The weekly program is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium. It can be heard anytime on KBOO's website by going to the drop-down menu at kboo.fm, clicking on audio, then podcasts, and scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. New shows are posted weekly. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.